ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः पुलेश गोकुलेश्वर कृष्णचन्द भगवान् की जय श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय So we studied, we went through a review of first three chapters. First is the Arjun Vishad Yoga, the yoga of the sorrow expressed by Arjuna. Why is it yoga? Because it is followed by quest for knowledge. Even sorrow can be a yoga or a beginning of yoga if it fructifies into something very valuable like knowledge. In the second adhyaya, we saw the summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita, and it's called Sankhya Yoga, Yoga of Knowledge. We need knowledge at every step in life because we interact with the people and places on a daily basis, on a regular basis, only based on the knowledge we have of those people and those places. If you didn't have the memory of what we did before, we wouldn't be able to deal with anything that comes our way because we wouldn't know how to deal with it. Somebody who has eaten an apple would know when an apple is presented to him or her as to how this fruit tastes. But if that person does not have any experience of eating an apple, then when that fruit is presented to that person, there's no how it would taste, no clue, because there's no memory that supports the decision-making process. Every decision make, every interaction that we make with the people and places is based on our memory. And that memory is called chitta. So there are four aspects of what we know commercially and normally as mana. In English we call it internal equipment, because in Sanskrit it's called antahkarana, inner equipment. And that antahkarana has four aspects. One is the mind, the oscillating aspects. Shall I do this? Shall I not do it? Do it? Eat it? Not eat it? Blah, blah, blah. The second aspect is the intellect, the buddhi, which is the decision-making aspect of life. Having looked at the situation from all possible angles, what decision should I make? What action should I take? That decision is made by buddhi, the intellect. That decision by intellect is supported by chitta, the memory. And then that decision in normal way in our life comes out as I did it, the ego, the sense of doership. So, the four aspects, mind, intellect, memory and ego. Manas, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. That is antakarana. That is also known as sukshma sharira, It's a different subject. Anyway, so anytime we know, we make any decision, anytime we take any action, we need knowledge. And therefore, Sankhya Yoga in second chapter, Bhagavan explains not just the secular knowledge, the fact, the knowledge of spiritual conviction. How does that decision, how does that conviction come? First you have to have knowledge, then you have to assimilate it, and then the conviction comes. If you are still doubtful about that knowledge, when it comes to act, you will be still wishy-washy because you don't have, you haven't established yourself in that knowledge. You are still not sure about it, you are still doubtful. So that Sankhya Yoga deals with knowledge of the self, the highest knowledge. And in that sense, it is essentially the summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. And then we saw third chapter, Karma Yoga, the yoga of action. The gist of this whole chapter is selfless action. That summarizes the whole chapter. Selfless action. Action devoid of any selfish motives, selfish desire, and dedicated to the lotus feet of the Lord. That is Karma Yoga. And so now we are going to review, hopefully in short time, two more chapters, chapter 4 and chapter 5. Chapter 4 is Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. And chapter 5 is Karma Sannyasa Yoga. The Jnana is already acquired. So what is Karma Sannyasa? Just as we said, Karma Yoga is selfless action. Karma Sannyasa is actionless action. Not that simple to understand, so we'll go through it. So Karma Sannyasa is actionless action, and Karma Yoga is selfless action. But Karma Yoga is those who are prone to action all the time, and Karma Sannyasa is for those who are prone to contemplation, meditation all the time. They have that aptitude of thinking about more than just this world. For those, Karma Sannyas is advocated. Means, Karma Sannyas in itself means no action. Taking sannyasa away from all actions. Taking sannyas from all actions is Karma Sannyas. But there is serious confusion in even the most knowledgeable people's mind as to what that is. And so Bhagavan clarifies that in 4th chapter. Before he goes to Karma Sannyas Yoga in 5th chapter, Bhagavan clarifies that in 4th chapter is Jnana Karma Sannyasa. Acquire the knowledge of what is Karma Sannyas before pursuing Karma Sannyas. Very systematic, very logical, very. There is nothing left to imagination, there is nothing left here to, because I said it, you do it. There is no such thing in our Shastras. Everything is fully explained, and the way of achieving that is also provided. Anyway, so we talk about Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So in the 4th chapter, Bhagavan generates three important changes in Arjuna. One is, Bhagavan explains the Guru Parampara. He says that this knowledge that I am explaining to you, Arjuna, is not something new. I first explained it to Swayambhu Manu, then from him it passed on in the tradition of teacher taught Guru Shishya Parampara, and it finally has come to this day today where Bhagavan says, because of the vagaries of life, you have missed acquiring that knowledge. Bhagavan says that to Arjuna. You, in your haste and jest to act, because you are a kshatriya, that's your job. And in the jest of doing that, you have lost this knowledge. So here it is. I am now giving this knowledge to you again, saying that Bhagavan teaches what is karma sannyasa, what knowledge you should have on the basis of which you can go become a sannyasi. Like we said last time, if you are driving at 80 miles an hour, you cannot make an abrupt U-change, U-turn. It's just not possible unless you want to get into accident with all kinds of people and places. If you're going at 80 miles an hour in one direction, first thing you have to slow down. Second thing, you have to look for the traffic. Third thing, you have to look for an exit. Then you have to make a U-turn very slowly, very, very slowly at 10 miles an hour or less. Similarly, if we are oriented to action only, to move from action to sannyasa is like making a U-turn. And so it takes time. It takes time. You have to go through steps properly to come to that step when you have the right knowledge to make that U-turn and go pursue the yoga of sannyasa, yoga of renunciation. Karma sannyas means renunciation of action. Jnana karma sannyas means the renunciation of action based on knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Without going through enormous amount of details, the knowledge that we should have is clarified by Bhagavan in verses 16 through 18. A fourth chapter. Bhagavan says karmani akarma and akarmani karma. So here is the, this is the whole gist of fourth and fifth chapter. If you understand this clearly, comprehend it, make it your own, then you have no difficulty becoming a sannyasi. Sannyasi is not somebody who wears saffron clothing. That is external presentation of who might be a sannyasi, but the internal change has to happen. Then only you can become a sannyasi. Otherwise, you can wear saffron clothes, go to the jungle, do all kinds of tapas, so to say, and yet carry all kinds of desires in your mind. Then you are a useless fellow, because you are neither a karma yogi, you are nor a sannyasi. In Bhaja Govindam, Bhagavan Shankaracharya says, that person is a beggar. Because he wears those clothes so that somebody would feed him. In our shastras, they don't spare words. They're very, very unsubtle at times when it needs to be. Need to understand that. Sannyasa is an internal thing. Sannyasa is a mental thing, intellectual thing. It's not a physical thing. So now there are two perspectives of this actionless action, karma sannyasa. Action you have to do, you have no choice. As Gurudev said, last time I said that, the day you stop acting, four people are ready to take you on their shoulder, say Ram Bolo Bhai Ram, Ram Naam Sat Hai. And very quickly, within hours, maybe a day or so, they put you under the earth, either 6 feet deep or on a pile of wood. So action you always do. You act 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So then what is the thought of actionless action? And there's one very profound term that we all need to remember, memorize, and continuously contemplate upon. That actionless action is sense of non-doership in anything that you do. The sense of complete, total, non doership. Now, how does that come? So there are two perspectives, as I was saying. One is, okay, the word in Sanskrit for this non-doership is akartritva bhava. Akartritva. Kartritva means doership. Akartritva means non-doership. Shoka means sorrow. Ashoka means one who doesn't sorrow. Kartritva, akartritva. So akartritva is sense of non-doership, knowledge of non-doership, conviction of non-doership. So one who is a realized master, how does this work for him? This refers to actually the fifth chapter. So the first perspective is, when we say karmani akarma, inaction, and action in inaction. This is what we are discussing. So for a realized soul, realized master, like Gurudev, karmani, when actions happen by you, through you, karmani, the one who identifies with Brahman, with that which is the substratum of the entire universe of things and beings, I am that. When that conviction comes, karmani, then while doing an action, if that conviction is there, then akarma, then you have no feeling that you are doing anything. Because Brahman doesn't do anything. Things happen because of the three gunas that we have, sattva, rajas and tamas, through which the maya works and makes action possible. But you, as the Brahman, have nothing to do with it. You are a witness. You watch and be amused whether good, bad or otherwise happens. That also is known in another context as equipoised person. Sita Prajna Sika Bhasha Bhagavan was asked by Arjuna, what are the Lakshana's characteristics of the one who is an equipoised person? Sthira Buddhi. These are the Lakshana's, but this is what he is. So from the standpoint of a realized master, because that master, that person identifies totally at all times with Brahman as Brahman, anything that happens, he has absolutely no sense of doership for that. That is karma sannyas. That is karma sannyas. And because that person identifies, revels in Brahman as Brahman, there is akartritva, non-doership is present. And because he stands aloof from any action that's happening, because he doesn't do anything, only the upadhis, the body, mind and intellect, are the upadhis, are the superimposed titles, equipment, that actually does things. I have nothing to do with it. When that completely is part of your conviction and response to the world, then you are sannyasi. You are sannyasi. You have taken sannyas from karma. Another more practical understanding of karma sannyasa is, because you are the contemplative type, you give up actions in the world to go contemplate, sit somewhere and contemplate or higher. Because you are that type. You are not the type who is engrossed in action like Arjuna is. And therefore, for you, karma sannyas is important. For someone who is like Arjuna, the path of action is important, because that's all he knows. He would never be a karma sannyasi. It would take him a long time to do that. He has to make a U-turn yet. And so this is the point of view from, this is the point of view when you look at it from a realized master's eyes. But they can be only one or two amongst millions. What about the rest of us? We are at various levels of sadhana. We are seekers, working at our own speed, at our own pace, to pursue that higher goal. And therefore, we are called sadhakas. Right? And so for us, the understanding should be karmani, when you act. Your understanding should be, I only act as instrument of the Lord. All action actually happens through him. And because I am only an instrument, I don't do anything. I'm made to do whatever the Lord wants to do. The Lord is the doer. I am not. Because we have not reached the plateau of that absolute knowledge yet, because we are seekers still pursuing that. So our understanding when doing an action is, or should be, that I am an instrument only. I am an instrument only. Actions happen through the Lord. And therefore, the fruits also belong to the Lord. Right? When that happens, because you only see yourself as an instrument, again, that akartrutva bhava, that understanding of non-doership is there. Right? Is it clear? And this is the important thing to understand. From these two viewpoints, from the viewpoint of a realized master, he is Brahman, reveling in Brahman, always thinking of Brahman himself. And therefore, he has nothing to do with whatever actions happen. And therefore, total, complete akartutva, total, complete sense of non-doership. And as a sadhaka, as a seeker, because you consider yourself as an instrument only, the Lord acts through you, and therefore you are non-doer. You have nothing to do with any actions that happen. So when this is understood, then essentially we have completed both fourth and fifth chapters. But there's a very good set of instructions that Bhagavan gives in fourth chapter as to how to gain this knowledge. And please remember this, very, very critical. This is verse number 34 in fourth chapter. Tadviddhi paripatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshayanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. That guru, that jnani, that man of knowledge, tattva darshinah, that one who has realized that atma tattva, that self-knowledge, he will give you that knowledge when tadviddhi paripatena pariprasnena sevaya, when you go to the guru with attitude of surrender and lie down at his feet with your head at his feet. So you don't know what guru is doing. You don't see what guru is doing. But you have that absolute faith that whatever he does for me is for my own good. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, and then ask questions only when he tells you to ask. Don't open your mouth and get going like an express train. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshayanti. This is in future tense. When you do this for a long period of time, the guru will decide as and when you are ready for the knowledge. And then the guru will upadekshayanti, will upadesha, will teach you that knowledge. Because he will look at you and see if you are ready in terms of whether you have the fourfold qualifications. Viveka vairagya, Samadhi Shatka Sampatti and Mumukshutvam. If you have acquired those fourfold qualifications, and in the process of doing that, you automatically have quietened your mind, your peaceful mind now is ready for that knowledge. It's not running around after 50 different objects in 50 different directions. That is when you are ready. But the Guru will decide if you are ready for that or not. You just serve. This is the teaching of the Lord as to how to go about having that knowledge. There's so much to say about fifth chapter also. But then again, time is of essence. So in order to at least technically able to say to Anilji that we started sixth chapter, we will do that. But fifth and fourth chapter, this is the only difference. In fourth chapter, Bhagavan is talking about the sadhaka, seekers like us, who yet to have knowledge. When somebody goes to 2 years, 2.5 years brahmachari course, that person is the one who is getting or going about getting knowledge that will hopefully lead to karma sannyas, hopefully lead to becoming sannyasi. That's what those brahmacharis and swamis are about. We are almost, again as I said, whether you wear the whites, yellow or saffron, doesn't matter anything. The change has to come about internally. If that doesn't happen, then of course you are wasting your time and you are pulling a wool over a whole bunch of people by doing what you are doing. So be honest to yourself. You don't need to do that. And fifth chapter is for those who graduate from those courses and decide to take sannyas. Become brahmacharis, eventually become swamis. They teach the world the finer things of life. That is a sacrifice they give for us. So with that, so that's all you need to do. We start sixth chapter. I have 10 minutes before I have to go and do the Paduka Puja, so I'm also in a hurry. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. अनाश्रितकर्मफलम् कार्यं कर्म करोति यः स सन्न्यासी च योगी च न निराग्निर्न चाक्रियः. Bhagavan says, he who performs his bounden duty without depending on the fruits of the action is a sannyasi. That's what this verse says. But before this verse is studied, he technically began, so now we can step back. So what is meditation? Swamiji defines meditation as mind engaged deeply in total awareness, transcending its own nature. What is the nature of the mind? Thoughts. Thoughts flowing in 50 different directions at the same time. You're sitting here, your mind is in India, your mind is with your child, your mind is somewhere else. Mind flies. So that being the nature, when the mind transcends that nature, goes beyond that, goes beyond the thought process, masters the thought process, so that at will you can quieten your mind. When that happens, that is meditation. See, if you take the first letter of every word that I have said, mind engaged deeply in total awareness, transcending its own nature. It spells meditation. This is important. This is not one of those trick things If you remember this, you have learned the sixth chapter, you're done. You're totally done. Because the karma sannyas that you learned about in fifth chapter allows you to transcend this mind. Now you are ready for meditation. It just doesn't happen that there are five chapters that we go through because we are having fun. No, no, no. It's a very logical, very sequential study that prepares us for this step. I have a little chart here that's a summary of all six chapters. So where does it start? If you look at this point, we start as 100% sensual mind, 100% sensual being, which essentially is an animal man. We start out as an animal man. We want to become divine man. And that is the journey of first six chapters. I couldn't get it bigger. I couldn't get it made bigger. I'll tell you why, because I'm selfish. I didn't want to spend the money. This cost me $4 and the other one would cost me 40. So you know how mind works. But the idea is that this is something to be studied. And those of you who want a copy of this, email me with your email address and I will send you a copy by email. This gives you the entire summary of all six chapters with various perspectives. Swami Guru Bhaktanandji Maharaj, who was part of the 16th Vedanta course in Mumbai, has prepared this. I have nothing to do with this. I am just a recipient, beneficiary of this wonderful document. I have absolutely no concept of how he put this together. There's so much cramped into it. There's huge amount of information cramped into it. And that's why it takes a lot of time, a lot of perseverance and focus to study something like this. But then, once you do, the entire first six chapters, which is Tvam Pada from Tattvamasi sentence. Tvam Pada is first six chapters. Tatpada is next six chapters. Asi is the final six chapters. 1 to 6, Tvam. 7 to 12, Tat. 13 to 18, Asi. Tattvamasi. Another way of looking at it is, first six chapters, Karma Yoga. Next six chapters, Bhakti Yoga. Last six chapters, Jnana Yoga. Even if you look at it as from a realized master standpoint, Aham Brahmasmi. First six chapters are Aham. Next six chapters are Brahman. Last six chapters are Asti, Asmi, Brahmasmi. So that is the understanding with which we study this. Okay. So what is meditation? We'll just take another 2 minutes and then we all have to go to the main hall. The definition is effortless awareness of the self is meditation. So when somebody says we are going to do meditation, that's the farthest from the truth. Because meditation cannot be done. It's not an action. Meditation is not an action. Meditation is the state of mind. And therefore, to learn how to get into meditation, we studied the first five chapters so that we can come to sixth chapter and systematically study what is meditation, why it is called, what is, how is it defined, all that stuff. And anyway, let me make a couple of more points here, a couple more points. Quickly, just remember this. Please remember this. We are trying to put the entire ocean in a little bowl. In our language, we have a saying that says Gagarma Sagar. And it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to actually do that. But just a couple of things, you know, when we go through Karma Yoga, Karma Sannyasa Yoga, These are called bahiranga sadhana, external work to quieten the mind. And this is where Patanjali's yoga, eight-pointed yoga, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. This is what that is. External preparation for meditation. And the dhyanam part in Patanjali's yoga is the antaranga sadhana, is the samadhi part. What is samadhi? Being one with that self is samadhi. You always have samadhi from 10 o'clock in the night to 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. We are always in samadhi, but that samadhi is based on ignorance. When you have knowledge that is established, while you are awake, you are still in samadhi. Because you only see yourself everywhere, nothing but you. That is the samadhi. There are two types of samadhis, Anilji will talk about it. Savikalpa samadhi and avikalpa samadhi. But that's a lot of details. So when you transcend the thoughts, which is the mind's nature, meditation happens. And therefore Bhagavan goes through step by step how to prepare for meditation coming. How to prepare for meditation. He gives you step by step instruction in sixth chapter. So please follow Anilji's classes. And again, if you have any questions that you want to ask, I'm always available. My email address once again is marble, M-A-R-B-L-E, less, L-E-S-S, monk, M-O-N-K, marbleless monk at gmail.com. Anytime, any question, feel free to ask. If you don't ask questions, you are never going to learn. Remember that. So don't be shy in asking questions, please. Okay. Shall we close, please? Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah, Harihi Om Shri Sadgurunath Maharaj Ki. Today we have Gurudev's Paduka Pujan and also Paduka Pujan of Bhagavan Sri Shankaracharya Maharaj.